Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You want to jump aboard at 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. You can join us on Twitch too. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Nothing new on Astros and Justin Verlander possibly getting back together. But sources per John Morosi say the Astros, Dodgers, Braves, and Orioles are involved. John Heyman reported that the San Diego Padres are also calling about him. We hear anything new, we'll let you know. But I think the way that you should be operating today is just saying, I expect nothing big, specifically Justin Verlander big, to happen today. It'll be a pleasant surprise if it happens, but it doesn't really make sense from a what you'd have to give up perspective. Do the Mets have to trade Justin Verlander? I don't think so. And on top of that, you'd have to give up a prospect likely to do it. Seems like you only have Drew Gilbert. So do you have what it takes to pay him on top of those two things? That's the other question. So I think right now it's very unlikely that the Astros end up with Verlander despite all of the buzz and excitement over it last night.
Also, you need, with Justin Verlander's no trade clause, for basically him to say, I am only going to the Astros.
That's right.
You can't have him be open to any other team, especially the other teams on that list, because the other teams on that list can just outbid the Astros.
Exactly. Now, maybe he is that into it. He and Jim Crane had a close relationship. So that's a possibility. But the Mets also have to have an incentive to make that deal happen. And, I mean, if you have all that money and you gave it to Verlander, I get it. Okay, luxury tax, et cetera. You're Steve Cohen. You're losing money. But do you want to get rid of both of the guys that you signed this offseason? Is it really a burden for you to have Verlander next season on that pitching staff? I don't think so. I imagine the Mets still want to be frisky at least, and Verlander does help you with that.
Yeah, and the difference between Scherzer and Verlander is that Scherzer probably wasn't going to help you that much next year because
right.
He isn't helping you that much this year, and he's already pushing 40. And I think that Verlander, at least, in his last like 7 or 8 starts, has been awesome for the Mets.
He's
this
looking
year.
Like last year. Of
so,
late. Yes.
So, it, as far as from the Mets' perspective, someone to have on your team next year, and you can get, I mean, who they got for Scherzer is better than anyone in the Astros farm system, according to like the rankings.
Yep.
So you could get a better player than Drew Gilbert, who would be the like the center of a Justin Verlander deal. You got him for a worse player.
Verlander's numbers in July, referencing what Sean just said, 1.69
nice.
ERA. He's doing pretty well. Obviously wasn't off to the best start. I think his ERA at one point was as high
was like
as 4.6. The highest it was. The highest it was all season was 4.85. That was on June 8th. It's gotten better since he has gotten some starts under his belt, etc. So we'll see what happens. Just don't expect anything big. You won't be disappointed that way. I feel bad for Dana Brown. Like, this expectation is being put on him. It's not his fault.
Yeah, he also, like, if he doesn't make a move, like, there also just isn't that well of prospects to make the move from. Like, you know, that's kind of why Jeff Luhnow could make moves, is that he had a stocked farm system to deal from, and he could make moves like that. That's how he got Verlander in the first place. That's how he got Greinke in the first place, is that, well, there's enough guys to like kind of make a at least like a poo-poo platter of like none of these guys are Kyle Tucker or any of the guys that eventually would be difference makers on the Astros. But like here's some guys that you can say, oh, it's some prospects we can take a chance on, and basically none of them have worked out.
Yeah, that's true.
Like no one from the original Justin Verlander trade like made a difference whatsoever for the Tigers.
They really didn't. God, it really was like trading the Dutch trading beads to Native Americans. Like, oh, hey, thanks. Here's New York City.
I don't know about the great. I know the Greinke trade. People were more like kind of like, whoa, they kind of gave up a lot for Zach Greinke. But I'm sure now, like, that was when they were all in Double A. So I'm sure now, like, I'd be surprised if one of them was like awesome.
You know what's not awesome? Well, it's awesome for us because the Texas flagship has not beaten us in the numbers in a really long time. And I think I know one of the reasons why. And I don't know if he's on with them today, but John McClain, formerly of the Houston Chronicle, Gallery Sports, who I get along with, has done what seems to be an online heel turn over the course of the last year, specifically when it comes to covering the Houston Texans. Here is the latest, and it even led to Texans PR dunking on him. He tweeted this out yesterday. Excuse me. He tweeted this out earlier today, about an hour ago. Quote, "A perk of being the controlling owner, Janice McNair watches from an air-conditioned tent. Wonder if she'll consider an air-conditioned tent for the media." How old is Janice McNair? It's a weird target to go after an 86-year-old woman.
No,
Janice
McNair's had too good for too long. Thank you, John McClain, taking her down a notch.
It's so random. Like, oh, she's watching it in a tent. Wonder if she'll consider an air-conditioned tent
this
for the media.
This octogenarian is we're watching on the...
But here's the funny part. A tweet from @TexansPR. This is just assault. Quote, "There is literally an air-conditioned tent for media at every practice." Which is true, and it's very air-conditioned. If you've ever stepped in that tent, I am amazed by how powerful that air-conditioning unit is. So Texans PR finally pulls the guns on McClain after years and years of working together hand in hand. What a change in the Houston sports media landscape, where all of a sudden the Texans are coming after McClain. They used to give him the stories first, and Mark Berman. Oh, it's the wild, wild west out there.
It's the wild, wild west. Yeah.
I can see why Cody started Houston football. Because, wait, who's the number one guy? I'm serious. I actually do not know who the number one coverer of the Houston Texans is in town. Like, DJ Bien-Aimé, I mean, he's pretty damn good, and we do a podcast together, but he's only been here a couple of years. Brooks Cabina's only been here a couple of years. I know he's from here. But, I mean, there is a wide open vacuum as far as who is the daily voice on the Houston Texans. Aaron Wilson was, then he said something.
Yeah.
Whoops.
BTS left.
Brian T. Smith went to England.
Yeah, he left the country.
He did, instead of covering the Texans.
Did he flee the country? Did Texas PR pull the knives out on Brian too?
And I mean, look,
it's like the Red Wedding for Texans media.
There was a time where I was one of the trusted sources, you know, when it came to like asking the tough questions. As a Houston, Texas media member. You know, back in my day.
About the white tight ends and mixing them up. Yeah.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien and I would just get into like passive aggressive comment offs. It was always fun. It's funny to see this. I do not get, though, John. And John McClain loves to mess around, and he is actually a great dude. I like John a lot. But it's weird that John's gone this very like trolly route that he has when it comes to the Texans. I mean, he's also been essentially saying, like, yeah, well, yeah, the of course the Oilers deserve, the old Oiler uniforms deserve to belong in Tennessee. They belong in Nashville. Like, and no one ever had a problem with it. And everyone's like, what are you talking about, John? And everyone disagrees with him. Everyone is in disagreement with him. And I feel like he's just messing around. He's focusing on Nashville.
I could see... I could see how being a reporter, having to deal with fans for as long as John McClain has had to deal with fans, I can see that when you retire, I could see how you would be like, you know what? I want to throw some middle fingers around to these
fans.
You
know what? It's probably great for him.
It feels so good to be like, hey, all these guys that would, when I first started, mail me hate and call my desk with hate and now tweet me hate every day. It's like, you know what? F y'all.
I don't hate the player. I don't hate the game. I respect McClain's game here, but he is very clearly going like the route of a local Skip Bayless, where like everything he's doing, it seems like it's designed to now antagonize the people who have been following him since the Texans and football, the NFL, returned to town.
Not just the people that have been following him, but like you said, the people that he worked with on a day-to-day basis. Since the start of the franchise, he's been working with Texans PR.
And I'm not talking about when he drops a pathetic bomb. Like, everyone loves
that. Oh, no, that's normal.
I enjoy that.
You can criticize the team.
But now he's going after, he's like, Janice McNair watching from a tent? She's 86, John. Relax.
Also get your facts straight, all right?
Yeah.
If you don't know the facts...
He is Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll keep you posted on everything Justin Verlander, who has been pitching well of late, but I do think it's unrealistic that he'll be an Astro by the end of the day. Also, shout out to JP France, who has been bleeping awesome. Coming up next, there's been a lot of stuff going on in the world of college football over the last couple of weeks, especially since an old clip of me making fun of Texas A&M went viral yesterday. There's a quote from Texas A&M that we need to touch on, among other things. Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
It's that time to resume our daily privilege of listening to the Paul Gallant Show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paulie G.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Nothing new on Justin Verlander to the Astros. I will just continue to tell you, don't expect it to happen. If it does, great, but I think it's unlikely. Mr. Brostash, twitch.tv/ESPN975, comments, I don't understand how everyone seems to be so on board with bringing back a 41-year-old with a long-term monster deal back with open arms. Well, yeah, it is a long-term deal. I think there's the third-year player option as well, in addition to next year's salary.
It's next year, and then 25 is a vesting option if he gets to 140 innings pitched, which, if you're trading for him for this year, you want him to pitch 140 next year. So you want, in a weird way, you want it to go for 2 years after this one.
Right. And while he's pitching well, his ERA over the last month is like 1.5. Are you expecting that to continue? We haven't talked a lot of college football over the last couple of weeks, and I thought this would be a good time to touch on it on a relatively slow day where we are waiting for something to happen. So can I get a little Big Ten theme? At least not until next year, but it is so sacrilegious that this beautiful tune is going to the boring-ass corn stalks and wheat fields of the Midwest.
Iowa, Minnesota, next on CBS.
So, this is just an all-time quote from Alabama. And when I think of Alabama, if you were asking them to summarize their program with two words, I believe that this Alabama player...
Dallas Turner.
Thank you. Has it correct.
I mean, the expectations is joyless murder ball.
Joyless murder ball. I wonder if Alabama's going to be anywhere close to Georgia's level this coming season. You would assume, like, well, it's Alabama, so yeah. Or if Georgia's going to be as much of a dreadnought as they were last year and the year before. Would be something else if they're able to make it 3 in a row. Now, also around college football, I want to talk about a quote by Texas A&M defensive lineman McKinley Jackson. He said that the Aggies were really close to being 10-2, if not for all the one possession losses. Jesus. Don't do this. Texas A&M needs to be quiet this offseason. There is nothing good that can come from them opening their mouth. Nothing good at all. Why are you saying anything of the sort? They weren't that close. Their offense was an abomination. And until they finally moved on offensively from what? Haynes King, who was terrible? I mean, they were hard to watch. 5-7. They could have been 4-8 probably if you really think about it. But since we are a fair and balanced radio program, now that I've dumped on Texas A&M, I do want to dump on Texas for just a moment. Texas plans to build a $70 million facility that will be completed in 2025 with an indoor and an outdoor field, a 10,000-foot recruiting lounge, LED lighting, and they're going to replace the turf with natural grass. I've got an idea. How about a roof?
Oh, John McClane, put Galan over here.
Yeah, well,
put some AC in it.
Sorry, Sean. That Alabama-Texas game last year was hot as balls. That was brutal. And the worst part of that was all the areas right around the stadium, you're looking for water or a drink on your way out of the stadium, it all closes after the game is done. So how about we use some of that $70 million to, I don't know, make sure that people don't die of thirst or have heat stroke. Build a dome. Let's put the horns in a dome. Okay?
There really isn't any college team. I mean, there's like, I think, Syracuse. Idaho and, oh, yeah, Syracuse.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, you and I. Like, isn't that where, wherever Kurt Warner went, I think they played in a dome, too. But, yeah, they're really in major college football, other than Syracuse. There you go, Paul. There really is no one in a dome.
Dome is home. Dome is home.
It doesn't get very hot. I've had
miserable.
Friends, I've had friends pass out.
It is miserable there. It is like that. That was probably the worst football watching experience I've had in my life. I don't know why they decided that was a good idea to have at 11 o'clock. That should have been a night game. All Texas games early in the year should be night games. Like the Notre Dame game a couple of years before that, which I went to. That game was at night. Have them at night. You're going to die otherwise.
That you can thank your the good friends over at Fox for pushing Big Noon Saturday because they're too scared to go up against ESPN, ABC, and primetime. So they're like, what if you make all the games at noon a big deal?
Terrible.
Which is like terrible for, especially early in the season, for us. If you're going to the game, terrible for the students at the game. Like, just give these guys all day to gear up for the game. It's terrible. I think the Alabama game this year, though, in Tuscaloosa is going to be at night. So
there we go. That's nice.
That's nice.
But not anywhere close to me. From the 832, the real UT plays in the Alamo Dome. Shout out to UTSA. Cool, bro.
Yeah.
Another story. Colorado is leaving the Pac-12 for the Big 12. Jeez, the Pac-12 sucks. And it's just a matter of time before Oregon joins the SEC or something. Like, they're the one team that's the holdover that it doesn't make any sense that no conference has brought them in.
Oregon, and I guess if we're going to do, like, a package deal thing, Oregon and Washington is, like, the, I don't know, probably the best programs that might be free agents here in a second.
Well, I got an idea, Sean. The ACC is looking at expansion. How about Washington and Oregon in the Atlantic Coast Conference?
All Coast Conference.
All Coast. Yeah, there we go. I like that. Ohio State cornerback Aaron Scott committed to Ohio State by pulling a Michigan backpack out and then pulling a Buckeye jersey out of the Michigan backpack.
Good fake out.
I like it.
Yeah, and win some easy points for being like, am I right, guys?
Yeah.
Bleak Michigan.
Yeah, I like it.
I do like the, like, I don't know, like the vengeful, like, put on a hat, take it off, throw it away. You know, like, I like all, I like the theatrics that goes in with the hat selection.
I do too, because it means that grown ass men who have spent far too much time online are going to send them threats.
Oh, also the idea that, like, if Jim Harbaugh has to watch this and see that he pulls out of Michigan,
spit out the glass of milk he was like, drinking.
Not just Jim Harbaugh and, like, Nick Saban having to deal with, like, 17-year-olds being like, haha, I'm going to the other school, but also, like, the, like, recruiting coordinators and, like, the whoever, like, the offense coordinator, whoever was, like, actually recruiting him, all the hours that he spent in, like, this podunk little town at Waffle House trying to get 16 and 17-year-old to commit. It's
listening, like, to his dad, like, try to get him to buy him a car and stuff like that. Like, hey, can I get a bag of, like, $10,000 in cash? And he dropped the bag off, too.
And then it's like, nope, actually, I'm going to, like, I'm going to this team. Going to Ole Miss instead. Thanks, Alabama.
A Tennessee fan had accidentally sold his tickets to the Georgia game for $5 instead of $500. But that makes sense because people in Tennessee can't read.
Is that air conditioned?
No. No, bless their hearts. Those people in Tennessee, they eat squirrel and humans.
Also,
starring Emmanuel Chikri and Eliza Dushku, takes place in West Virginia, which is on the border of Tennessee, which is where all the cannibalism happens in the country. The Great Smoky Mountains. Deliverance took place there. I'm just making things up now.
Okay. I was going to say, I saw the picture from where these seats are on, like, the ticketing website. They are worth $500. They
sold them for $5.
They're, like, you're, like, in the corner, like the side corner of one of the end zones, like, four rows up. It's like,
do you get your money back for that? I feel like, Sean, there's got to be a way where you can appeal that and say, like, clearly these were not for $5.
I don't know.
All sales are final?
It's not surprising.
Again, coming from someone from Tennessee, like, they're stupid, backwards people, especially the people that root for the Titans.
If StubHub can, like attach, like, more fees and, like, whatever to that they get to a ticket that's $500, like, if they get a percentage, then maybe they do cancel it and then put it back up for $500 so they can get, you know, instead of $3 in fees, $300 or whatever it is, $30 probably.
I want someone to do that with a Taylor Swift ticket. And then see what the follow-up
is. That'd be a great, like, YouTube, like, prank almost. But it's not even a prank, because you are, like, helping people.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can spin it in, like, I'm giving away, like, $1 tickets on Craigslist to Taylor Swift.
How desperate are you? What would you do for this $1 ticket?
Oh, okay, now...
Wow. What?
Also, it would be funny for all the people that can't get tickets to be like, what? This guy's just giving them away. Just walk up to random people at the mall, be like, hey, do you want to go to a Taylor Swift concert?
I like it. But you have to figure out how to get there. And then it'll be like Taylor Swift Iceland. Figure it out, Rakovic. Biff Poggi is the head coach of Charlotte football. Yes, they have a football team. Yes, they're Division I. And at the AAC conference meetings, he was only asked 3 questions.
Any other questions for Coach? That's it? 3 questions? Maybe that's because you have us ranked last. That's all what you think of us.
Yes.
So that we get that message. Thank you.
I mean, he showed them. Really did. Bulletin board material.
Yeah.
There were only 3 people. And I bet it was just one person asking 3 questions.
Yeah, it was the guy from the Charlotte Observer. asked 3 different questions.
Be thankful you got any podium time. No one gives a rat's ass in Carolina about Charlotte 49ers football.
Yeah.
No offense.
This if Biff Poggi, because maybe he does get things back on track. Whatever.
Biff.
Maybe they win the American one year. This will definitely be like, well, when he's getting the trophy or something, he'll be like, and I remember my first year here at Media Day, we only got asked 3 questions. Look at us now. We're second in the AAC or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I kind of don't want that to happen, though. I just like that his name is Biff.
I'd like that, too.
An old-fashioned, like, 1950s name. Hell yeah. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Nothing new on the Justin Verlander front, but you'll be the first to hear it right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're not spending the whole show talking about Texans training camp. Also, our country was embarrassed last night. We need to talk about it. Stick around.
We're all one world. Oh, we're all one.
So happy Creed's getting back together. We do need to have Scott Stapp on the program. He is the number one guest request that I have for this show. It's all I want, Sean. We don't do guests generally because, but if we can get someone like Scott Stapp, it would be everything with arms wide open. This is where it gets into like just the kind of mediocre lyrics about like how he's hoping he'll be a good dad someday.
Is that what this movie's about? Or the movie? This song's
so.
About?
Yeah, it's about like having a kid. Yeah.
I thought it was just about your arms being wide open.
No. It's not quite that. It's not quite that.
Are they going on tour? Is that what the reunion is?
There is a, I believe, reunion cruise. So I don't know how many people are familiar with the idea of something called Holy Ship. One of my friends does this. It's essentially like a cruise boat with just EDM music playing the whole time, and everyone does drugs and bleeps like rabbits the whole time. And this is what, like, older adults do. I mean, adult, like, not quite middle-aged adults, early middle-aged, late 20s. This is one of the things that they do.
And this called is Holy Creed
Ship.
Is
so
doing?
There's a Holy Ship-esque cruise that's going to feature Creed among other bands. Yes.
Ah, Summer of 99 cruise.
Summer of 99 cruise, correct.
Correct. In 2024. Whoa! Their first shows in 12 years?
Hmm.
Paul, how do you get a ticket on this?
I don't know, man. I don't know, but we got to figure it out. Can I ask for a media credential so I can cut the line? I hope so.
Is the press box there air-conditioned? Asking for a friend.
Right. Is the boat air-conditioned is the big question, or is it going to turn into a poop cruise like that one a couple of years back? What was it, a decade ago? I knew a couple of people on it. They came back into Galveston. They hadn't had electricity for, I think, like 7 days or something like that. And they all had to sleep on the top of the bed because of how foul the stench was. Nothing new on Justin Verlander to the Astros. Lots of rumors about it last night. I think it's unrealistic to happen. I do think, this is a fair point by Todd the Show, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He says, just saw someone online say, even if we win a championship this year, it isn't worth giving up Drew Gilbert. I mean, if that's the transaction, you do it, I think.
You would trade Drew Gilbert for a World Series championship.
You know what?
No bleep.
Sean, this is going to sound like a zag, but there's too many people hyping up Drew Gilbert. Like, I get it. He had a good spring, and he's doing well in the minors. But no one knows if he's going to be good. We've seen plenty of Astros prospects crush it in the minors. And then they came up to the majors, and they sucked. Off the top of my head, John Singleton, who it wasn't just weed with Singleton. A.J. Reed, Tyler White. And maybe it's a little bit different with White than it is with Reed, who was once a hyped prospect. But sometimes these guys just never do anything. Forrest Whitley. This isn't quite, I'm obsessed with having all of the first round draft picks segment of NFL fans.
Mm-hmm. Who, it's pretty close, though.
But it's close. Like, you don't know that a prospect is going to be good. He might be awesome. He might not be. You really do not know. These are the gambles that you make. If the transaction is that simple, you're an effing idiot if you don't do Verlander straight up for Gilbert.
Yes.
If it means a championship, this is an obvious thing to do. The problem is you don't know.
What you had to worry about, or not even worry about, but like remember with Drew Gilbert, is that, yes, he's the best prospect in the Astros farm system.
Which is not...
The Astros farm system is unanimously, if not 30th, like 28th at best.
Right.
Like, so he, like, sure, he's standing out among the farm system, but overall, in terms of, you know, all of Major League Baseball, he's not that highly touted of a prospect.
As far as I know, and I could be wrong, but the Astros don't have a top 100 prospect and don't have a top 60 prospect. Does that change next year? Does Drew Gilbert enter that equation? Maybe. But odds are he doesn't. Or if he does, he's like 95 or 80 or something like that. Neato. He's not untouchable, right? Like maybe
he is touchable.
He's untouchable by default. Because you don't have many other people, but he shouldn't be untouchable. And you guys are acting like he's the next Willie Mays. Todd the Show says, okay, he might be the replacement for Kyle Tucker. Right. Guess what? You should extend Kyle Tucker.
Yeah. Also, he might be the replacement for Kyle Tucker, but what if he's not good? You know, like Mac Jones was the replacement for Tom Brady. Guess what? Mac Jones. Don't feel great about it.
Exactly. If the transaction is as simple as Drew Gilbert for a championship, you're doing it. Let's stop acting like
how
Drew
many
Gilbert
how many
Jesus
players
Christ.
How many players do you not trade for a championship? Like, I feel like you trade anyone to like
well, you
guarantee a championship.
You can't trade Rafael Montero for a championship.
No,
that's
you
sure.
You'd have to attach,
untouchable.
You'd have to attach some cash. You'd have to pay a part of his salary. To...
Yeah, you'd have to give it like entire concert tour of Taylor Swift tickets.
Player to be named later.
Yeah. And people are talking about the rankings on the Twitch too, where, yeah, no one knows anything. Jordan wasn't a top 100 prospect. JP France wasn't. He could be rookie of the year. Like, no, I'm not disagreeing. All I'm saying is no one knows, but people are acting like they know with Drew Gilbert, yeah, for sure he's good.
And
you don't.
Part of it is like you kind of have to be highly ranked on the prospect list if you want to get traded for Justin Verlander, because that like he can still be good, but you just cannot be if you're the Mets. Just put the Mets hat on. You cannot trade for like a bunch of guys that aren't top 100 prospects because some guys have not been on top 100 prospects and they turned out good. That's how you get screwed in trades. It's just being like, I don't know, give me whoever. I don't care.
Twitch comment, I only trust one Gilbert. The Gilbert that calls into John and Lance in the morning.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's fair. Anyway. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5. 925 713 780 3776 to call, to text. Would you trade Yordan Alvarez for a championship? This is what the conversation has, you know, devolved into.
There's like three guys on the Astros where it's like an interesting conversation.
I just want it to be 5 o'clock so everyone shuts up. Like, perfectly honest. I might shut up, everybody.
I might just take a nap until, like, after the show. I'm trying not to take naps after the show.
Oh, you can't take naps after the show, man. It's a big mistake.
I know.
Your day will be ruined if you take a nap.
Yeah, because then, like, I can't sleep for. Anyway. But today I might break my rule. I might just take a nap just to get to 5 o'clock faster.
He's Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Up next in garbage time, the United States women's national team has sucked thus far. They've sucked. How much they sucked? They've sucked so bad that a Houston Dash legend is taking a giant dump on them. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 on Twitch. I don't get it.
There are things in this world that we will never fully understand.
It's time for White Linen Night in the Heights, and no one does it like Drift Bar. Saturday, August 5th, Drift Bar will be a neon dreamland with DJs, a 360 photo booth, LED swings, glow sticks, and more. Come experience it all at Drift Bar. Every day of the week, Drift Bar is the spot for amazing cocktails, a huge selection of drafts, along with high tides and good vibes. Drift Bar in the Heights on 20th Street. Your destination for White Linen Night is Drift Bar.
The official tequila of the PGA Tour, Maestro Nobel, welcomes global golf superstar Jon Rahm to the family as their new golf ambassador. Take it from me, Lance Zierlein, and golf sensation Jon Rahm, Maestro Nobel tequila is outstanding. Resulting from 11 generations of tequila mastery, Maestro Nobel offers several varieties, each with different flavor profiles. Discover Silver, Reposado, Humido, Añejo, and Diamante. Perfect to sip and outstanding in a cocktail. You'll truly enjoy Maestro Nobel tequila.
Proximo Spirits, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay. Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm on to something. Reese's. Reese's. Reese's.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time to hydrate. Grab a Rambler Sparkling Water, the official sparkling water of ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. A Texas mineral blend available in original, lemon lime, grapefruit, and satsuma. Ramblers do it better.
Hey, soccer fans, Glenn Davis here. Thank you for supporting Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by presenting sponsor, the Daspit Law Firm. Don't forget, join me for the best in soccer talk and football talk weekly on ESPN 97.5.
Welcome back to the Tucker Paulson Show. Our country used to be built on family. The men went to work to make money, and the women stayed home to do dishes, cook dinner, and have babies. It was a simpler time, a better time. But now women are leaving the kitchen in pursuit of individual goals, forgetting about the importance of team in America, the importance of family as our nation circles the drain under Joe Biden. And when they're not getting abortions, they're busy playing a British game, soccer. And even worse, they're not even winning. They're teaching our children the worst possible thing they can learn about ties. A tie against the Netherlands. A tie against Portugal. Meanwhile, motherless children are out on the streets, slowly dying of hunger and neglect. What is happening? What is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. In Biden's America, women aren't just leaving the kitchen and the idea of a traditional family behind. They're setting that kitchen on fire. The women's team sucks right now. And again, this is what we said we were going to do when the Women's World Cup started. Like, we're not going to pay any attention to it if they win. Because that's the expectation. It's an unfair burden that's put on them. But if they don't play well, we're going to crush them. Especially when you're hearing going into it a lot of cockiness. Megan Rapinoe is saying, hey, guys, I'm going to retire when this is all done because I don't want to be a distraction. But I do want to make sure that I'm a role model for New Zealanders growing up, some little Kiwi babies. I want to inspire them to play soccer someday. They should have lost yesterday. And if they lost, they'd be out of the World Cup because they tied against the Netherlands. And honestly, thanks to a shot hitting the post by Portugal in what was a nothing-nothing tie last night. It's the only reason the U.S. stays around. They're second in the group stage. They're going to play Sweden, I guess, in the round of 16. Carly Lloyd used to play for the Houston Dash. And it's interesting to see the women's soccer team get criticized because they have been universally praised as the best soccer team in the world for such a long time. When they are not playing well, it's interesting to see who actually has the balls to take shots at them, because generally that's a losing battle online if you're going to criticize them and cover them fairly, which is ironic a little bit. But here is what Carly Lloyd, as part of the post-game show, after seeing Alex Morgan and a couple of other U.S. players getting pictures and dancing around after this nothing-nothing draw, here's what she had to say.
We should be expecting to see from a team that survived Portugal and survived to get to the round of 16.
What the?
I appreciate them taking care of the fans, but let me tell you, Carly Lloyd's butt would be back in the locker room kicking things, throwing things.
I have never witnessed, and just seeing these images for the first time right now on the desk, I have never witnessed something like that. There's a difference between being respectful of the fans and saying hello to your family, but to be dancing, to be smiling. I mean, the player of the match was that post. You were lucky to not be going home right now.
Amazing. The best part is the images, it's like they're war atrocities. It's like, no, it's just Alex Morgan getting like selfies with fans.
Because the tone when he says you survived Portugal, it made it seem like you're in the European theater of World War II. Like, you survived the craggy rocks of Portugal. It's like, I don't know. But no, I do like that. It's like, I think only Carly Lloyd, Abby Wambach, like the legends of the game, and like specifically the legends of like the last World Cup and the last couple World Cups, I feel like they're the ones that can like pull this card on TV the most and be like, listen, this is not the standard that I set. Carly Lloyd helped set. Like, you know, Rob Stone, Lexi Lawless, like they probably can't do it. Lexi probably would do it. And like, cause he kind of,
The U.S. men's team has never really been good.
No,
the U.S.
I mean,
women's team has been great. And Lloyd, yes. Lloyd,
I mean, specifically,
so much
Lexi Lawless calling out the women's team.
Oh,
I think he would. I think he would get criticized for it.
I do too.
I don't think Carly Lloyd will not get criticized.
No, she won't get criticized at all.
And she's right. Like, she's 100%
right. More people should be on them. They've sucked. Like, I'm sorry. You should be winning every game 10-0. I don't know anything about women's soccer other than it's better than men's soccer at times. They should be winning all these games 10-0.
If you are going to stink in a World Cup, make sure when you have high expectations, make sure it's the one where the games kick off at like 1 a.m. Central Time.
Which, by the way, this is what happened. This was a 2 a.m., I think, kickoff.
Yeah, no one – like, I have not been awake for one of these things – one of these games ended, and – I don't know. I'm ready to criticize the coach. I don't know who the coach is. I know his name's Vlatko. I don't know. Why do we have? What does this guy know about soccer?
He said, or
he's not American.
He said, and yeah, he's some Dutch dude. He said, like, this criticism is crazy. Shut the bleep up, dude. Shut your mouth. Stop tying, you stupid Dutch person. You know, there's only two people I hate in this world: intolerant people and the Dutch. Get your clogs off my team.
My name's Van der Ty.
Get out of here. Okay?
I do like...
We got some xenophobia, check, and we got some sexism, check. So Tucker Paulson segment, successful.
I do like that, like, this is the one U.S., you know, national team that not only, like, has sky-high expectations, but also, like, play a sport where it is competitive enough to where they might fall short. So we get to be like complete. Like, this is how, like, Brazilians talk about the men's national, the Brazilian men's national team.
This is all we got.
Just be like, this guy stinks. Get him out of here after they like advance in the group.
Right. Like, we're very dumb when it comes to our soccer talk. This is very uneducated soccer talk. Glenn Davis knows what he's talking about. We just think, like, they should win every game 10-0 and that they should all, you know, be fired.
I'll even settle for, like, 3-0. You know?
They're very highly paid because they fought for it, and deservedly so. But I don't know. I think Megan Rapinoe is a little bit distracted by her own impending retirement.
Oh, yeah? Reading the press clippings too much?
Oh, 100%.
The upside-down press clippings in New Zealand?
Is that how they read?
I don't
Makes
know.
Makes sense.
The toilets flush the other way. I don't know. I don't know anything about New
they
Zealand.
They have toilets?
Right?
I don't know.
The porta potties flush the other way.
Yeah, I doubt they have plumbing.
The outhouses in the outback.
This is the island that, and again, this is not me speaking like
a
I know.
Bonus xenophobia.
I'm assuming that, like, New Zealand is the island that Australians sent their criminals to. Which Australia was the English.
The Australians
criminals.
Are like, those people are crazy. they're talking
crazy.
About New Zealanders.
Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Would you expect the Astros to not celebrate if they won the American League Championship Series in a close game against an underdog? This team made the knockout round. That's part of the reason they're celebrating. It's a whole new ball game right now. They didn't deserve to make it. They only got through because the ball hit the post. Stop making excuses for the U.S. women's team. My God, people.
Now, if you're the men's team,
yeah.
However you advance, celebrate. However you do it, celebrate.
It's so funny.
Right now, the men's World Cup, the men's World Cup team, they made it out of the group and lost the first game. If the U.S. and that was like a success. Mm-hmm. If the women's team does that, a horrific failure.
This is the double standard women want. This is what they want: equality. I'm just kidding. I was trying to make a Barbie reference out of this because I guess, like, yeah, you know, the people that are Ken, right, when they go to the real world, all of a sudden they're getting treated better than they do in Barbie's world. So, like, there's lowered expectations for the men's national team. But when, you know, Barbie and the women's team go to the real world, high expectations. I don't think that made any sense.
I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know.
I haven't either.
Can you tie this into Oppenheimer, please?
That segment, that reference was a bomb on this show. Time for garbage time.
I'm only happy when
it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
OG from H-Town says, you queer, Paul. Of course you went by yourself to watch the Barbie movie. I'd go to watch Margot Robbie. That's probably the only reason
Gay.
I didn't watch it. Cardi B might not get away with tossing the microphone at that random fan that showered her in liquid at a concert. Why? Because, Cardi B hit the wrong person with the microphone.
Yeah, that's kind of the downside to, like, clapping back or striking back against people who throw things at you at a concert. You kind of have to not only be right with who did it.
Kind of hit them.
Not have to go full Ron Artest. But you also, yes, you actually have to, like, then have the Drew Brees pinpoint accuracy to chuck the microphone at them.
Yes.
Hit him right between the numbers.
Right between the numbers. Cardi B could not be an Astros pitcher.
No, probably not.
Megan Thee Stallion would have hit this person in the face. Also, by the way, like, you know, we're making comparisons, like Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, and Megan Thee Stallion. Like, how are those three in the same conversation? Because Megan Thee Stallion blows the two of them away. It's not even close. Anyway.
All right, David Hensley.
Hey, ESPN's got a new play-by-play crew. Mark Jackson gone, thank God. Mike Breen, Doc Rivers, and here's the controversial choice for some of you people, Doris Burke. By the way, it should be Doris Burke. If you've ever heard Doris Burke on a call, I know some people can't get out of the out of their head that it's a woman, and that's why they just hate Doris Burke, which sucks for Doris Burke. Doris Burke can teach you way more about basketball by talking than Mark Jackson ever could. Mark Jackson was such a waste of space. And again, I'm not like happy he was fired, but like, I've never understood their obsession with Mark Jackson. It did feel like Jeff Van Gundy died so Mark Jackson could live on that ESPN broadcast.
And now he's hand down, man down.
Right. He should be down. How is that good?
Mama, there goes that man.
Mama, there goes that man.
I randomly have an accent. Also, I say that line with no energy whatsoever.
That's NBA basketball, Jeff Van Gundy.
Anyway, that's going to wrap up today's Paul Gallant Show. We'll see what happens by the trade deadline. We'll react to it tomorrow. Killer Bees are up next. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. The Killer Bees are next. I just said that. Peace! This is Paul Gallant here for Cocaine.